We don't know who God is, and we dare speak to him the way we do because we don't know him. You know, he loves us, but we don't know to whom it is we speak. Hey ladies, Danielle here from A Woman of Virtue. Come with me today as we look at God's word for our marriage to usher in peace like we've never known before. Kingdom ways will yield kingdom results. There, and welcome to the Fighting Wife podcast. My name is Danielle, and I'm so glad that you're with me today. This is a place where we Christian wives talk about how to end the fighting in our marriage by doing things God's way, according to His kingdom. So, how can I just assume that you fight in your marriage? I don't know you, right? I don't know who you are, and I don't know your marriage. I don't know the relationship that you and your husband share. I don't know any of that, but I just know that all of us wives, we all kind of are the same, right? Like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is a mankind issue. That's not just a wife issue, right? That applies to our husbands too. You know, whenever I'm in a group of people and I make comments about the fighting wife or anything along those lines, the husband and the wife, they always exchange looks, and the husband gets really quiet. Maybe he walks off and there's giggling. And this is the deal. It affects all of us. It does. We can put our best foot forward, right? So many of us Christian wives, we do that, and we can go to church and we can look the good Christian wife. And I'm not even saying that our motives aren't pure, right? But I'm just saying that, you know, fighting, it tends to be in marriage, a saved marriage or an unsaved marriage. This is a level playing ground, and we're really all the same, right? Basically, what it comes down to is we are all wicked to the very core. Women and men alike, we're all wicked to the core. We're mankind. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's the acts of the flesh in our marriage, right? Fighting and strife. And if you're anything like me, I did so much of the fighting in my marriage, and I was so frustrated in my heart because I was like, well, I'm saved, so how come my marriage is acting unsaved? God promises all these blessings to me, you know, throughout scripture. If I follow him and I obey him, how come my marriage is lacking peace? Peace, now I know, is, you know, that's a fruit of the Spirit, and God has to give us peace. You know, we can't manufacture it on our own. Although many of us have tried, right? We've tried to do that, and we can manufacture fake peace that will last for a time, but it's not true, and it is not sustainable that way. Oh, there's so much to say there, right? But I'm just saying, we are all kind of the fighting wife, you know, to varying degrees. Some of us are better than others, and we're all in different parts of this journey. But we're sisters here, and you are welcome here. If you're a new wife just joining us, welcome. We welcome you. We have listeners from all over the world. We're all joining together as wives here and pursuing God's way for our marriage, how to end the strife in our marriage. Marriage affects so much, right? Like if you and your husband are fighting, it's going to affect the family. It affects the children, you know, and as we know, divorce certainly affects children. And there's pain, so much pain there. And you know, okay, so why did I throw divorce in there? Well, you know, I'm not saying that my marriage was on the brink of divorce. I think a lot of people, they tend to just automatically go there. The acts of the flesh, unbridled, untamed, it could lead to separation in your marriage. All sin leads to death, right? It's separation from God and from each other. My husband and I, we were not fighting over big things. You know, we were both faithful to each other. We had never cheated on each other, anything like that, but it was just the everyday bickering, just the everyday mundane things. The misunderstandings, the hurt feelings, just the very normal things. That is what I speak to in this podcast. Like I said, if you're a new wife, welcome. This place is for you. And if you have a little more time, episode 3 lays the foundation for this podcast, full of scripture. If you have some more time, that's a great place to start. If you want to have an idea what this podcast is about before you jump in, right? Episode 3, you can do that. Basically, marriage is a kingdom idea authored by God, and fighting affects marriage. So often, us Christian wives, we try to solve the problem with our own solution. And basically, marriage is a kingdom idea, so we can't just throw anything at it and it fix it. It's got to be a kingdom solution. We're in this for true health, true peace, true joy. And those things are promised to us in scripture. And it's extended to our marriage as well. Episode 2, if you have a little extra time, that's just where my testimony is. And although I give it in every episode, if you're a listener that has been with us for a while, I just welcome you back. I've missed all of you. It's been a while since I've recorded my last episode. I took some time off and it was just very nice to have some time off and not have recording and editing, you know, in the back of my mind that I needed to do. And I just kind of took a break. And then I got the flu not too long ago, so then that set me back even more. But I'm back and I'm healthy and I'm feeling better, although I'm still getting back into the swing of, you know, eating and feeling good and eating right, you know, because when you're sick, you're kind of just trying to eat whatever you can keep down. And so now I'm getting back on track. For those of you who are new, I say God's kingdom way, according to his kingdom. That is what this podcast is all about. It's what every episode is rooted in. It's the foundation of God's way for marriage. What is God's way? I go over it every episode because it is so good. We need to hide these words in our heart so that they just come pouring out. Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So that right there is the mandate given directly to us wives that will end the fighting, full stop. When we entered the covenant of marriage, we entered God's way for marriage. And that right there is so special because it is spoken right to us wives. If we want intimate directions from God, God, how do I end the fighting in my marriage? That is right there. That is powerful. He's speaking right to us wives. I will be forever grateful, though, that God speaks over and over in the Bible of his way and how to live and teaching us more and more of who he is. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So Ephesians 5 was speaking about submission. We are to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord, while Hebrews 13:17 adds obedience, because it says obey your leaders and submit to them. Well, Ephesians 5 established our husbands as the leaders, and so now we know that we are to obey too. And I always say that obedience and submission, they are different. Submission is a heart issue, I have come to learn, and obedience is an outward response to that inner commitment to submit. But it does state them differently, you know, submit and obey. And so those two are different, and I've done a lot of digging into those words. And just based on the dictionary's definition, submission is more of it's an act of will. Obedience, on the other hand, is basically a physical manifestation. I do it with my hands, stuff like that. God would never ask you to obey your husband when it's sin. I mean, never sin. But a lot of times what we fight over in our marriages are not sinful issues, right? It is, I want to go out Friday night and my husband doesn't want me to. That's not a sin. But it can get kind of tricky when, you know, it's things like, I want to volunteer at the church. I use that example all the time. And my husband says no. That line is a little more blurry, but it's still not a sin. Those types of things. For the most part, what I talk about here is to us Christian wives who do, for the most part, have a form of godliness, right? We're not so much dealing with the hardcore sinful type of things. It's more the blurry things that get us confused. And by no means am I better than anybody. I mean, I've been on this journey for quite a while now. I've put it into practice for 6 years. And so a lot of stumbling and growing in there. But I'm on this journey too. And these are things that I encounter every day myself. But I will add that it does become more second nature the longer that you've done it. I do think that there's an aspect of practice, you know, repetition, doing something over and over where it's like obeying God is our first response. I've just found myself lately, as of lately, praying more and more those prayers of Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. I'm going through it right with you. I'm your sister in this. That is the joy of being believers together, right? We join hands and we're not supposed to do this alone. We have each other and we can share and we can encourage each other. That's what we're supposed to do. And I really hope that I can convey this in a way where you can understand that I'm going through it with you. I'm someone who can definitely speak to your situations, but at the same time, you can know that I'm going through them too. If you want to reach out and you have some specific questions and you maybe want me to try to speak to something that you're going through, you can reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is StopTheFightingWife. That's stop.the.fighting.wife. I would just love to come alongside you in prayer. If I can speak to a situation, that is something that is completely available to you and would bring me great joy. Romans 13:1-2. I love this one. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. That one right there speaks so much to how we can be deceived as Christian wives, right? We can go to church and we can do all the right things and go through the motions and even have the right heart, so we think. Certainly there's something to be said about doing the right thing because it is right. Even if our heart's not right, the outward can be right and the inside can be wrong. But, well, that was me. I was doing all the right things on the outside, so I thought. I was being the good wife. I was going to church. I was raising my kids according to scripture. Yeah, I wasn't cheating on my husband. I read my Bible every day and still, I was so deceived to my part, you know, and what was my part? I was the quarreling wife. My book, The Quarreling Wife, available on Amazon, that is really what started everything. It started my blog and then after my blog and all this podcast. But The Quarreling Wife, in Proverbs 21:9, it is better for a man to live alone than to live with a quarreling wife. And what I find so fascinating and almost endearing is that Proverbs 21:9 doesn't specify what she was quarreling about, simply that she was and that it wasn't God's way. And so to me, I can plug in anything I really want into that. You know, well, I'm afraid, so I'm going to quarrel. Well, I want my husband to be a godly leader, so I'm going to quarrel for that. I feel alone, so I'm going to quarrel about that. It doesn't say why she was the quarreling wife, simply that she was. And that was my part. A chapter in the Bible that I have just come to love, I actually read it every day, is Galatians 6. It talks about those who live by the Spirit are to restore those who are in sin and to do it gently, but to watch yourselves so that you're not tempted. Well, that is loaded because that was so me. I was trying to restore my husband. You can say gently or ask him, he will probably say not gently. But anyways, I thought that I was restoring my husband gently or whatever, but I wasn't watching myself. You know, the Bible talks about get the plank out of your eye so you can help your brother with the speck that's in his eye. Well, guess what? When you get the plank out of your eye, even though you see the speck in your brother's eye, you will realize that, well, I can't do it. I can't take the speck out of his eye. It's got to be God who reveals it to him. So it's almost like once God revealed to me the plank that was in my eye, then I was able to look at my husband and see the speck in his eye, but say, no, God, you do it. You know, the Bible says that it is God who draws a man unto himself. We do not do that. You know, as wives, we can meddle, we can do all of that, but really, we can't change anything. We cannot change our husband's heart. And we want change for real, right? We want change that comes from God, not just for us, but for our husbands too. And so that means that our husbands are on a journey, their own personal journey. And like me, for example, I've been on this fighting wife journey, whatever you want to call it, for the last 6 years. And I am just starting to really see God work on my husband, but in our marriage. Like, I'm not saying God wasn't at work, but now I'm really starting to see the hand of God moving. And it's been 6 years. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, 6 years can intimidate a lot of us, right? But I'm not saying it needs to take that long. And I'm not saying that God wasn't working. I'm just really starting to see that God is working. So it's like, did it take that long for me to get out of the way before God really started pressing on my husband? We need to get out of the way as wives. We mean well. We do, right? I was fighting with my husband over good things. I was fighting for virtue. Actually, I wanted the fruits of the Spirit in my husband's life. But guess what? Getting the plank out of your own eye will help you realize that you cannot manifest the fruits of the Spirit in your husband's life. You want him to have joy towards you. You want him to have love and patience and all those things towards you, right? Well, he needs the fruits of the Spirit from God. And that's not something you can manufacture as the wife. And so, I don't know. Take that for what you will. Yes, Romans 13, 1 through 2 means so much to me because that is where I was so deceived. And I just will forever be grateful for that one. And so those three verses right there are really just the very foundation, the very bedrock of the fighting wife. Today, I am going to change gears a little bit. As always, all of my episodes, they're always talking about how to end the fighting, and it's embedded in every single one. But today is actually a little different. It is focusing more on God today. And I actually want to talk about wrestling with God. Specifically, I want to talk about when we struggle with submission. Now, remember when I said submission is on the inside and obedience is on the outside? So if you've been on this journey for any length of time, whether a month, a week, a year, 6 years, whatever, it can still be a challenge, right? When we get pretty good at this, we can master the outside response, you know, because we know that that is what can end the fighting, you know, with our husband is when we start obeying them as our leaders and stuff. Well, when the inner response is wrong, when the submission to God is out of whack, that is where the anger and the strife can go on. So although the fighting can be ended on the outside with obedience, we can still be fighting in our heart because we're not submitting to God. And so we can kind of feel like we're wrestling with God, right? This episode is in response to the last episode I did, which was titled, When Your Heart Feels Broken, Lead It. In that episode, I was really, you know, speaking about, God, why are you asking so much of me and nothing of my husband? Like, God, do you care about me at all? Or is this just my lot in life where I have to lay down my will and never get anything I want from my husband? And then I feel alone and it's just so hard and I'm turning the other cheek and I'm submitting to you. Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And it can feel like a very lonely, broken place, especially when God is working on our husbands. Let me tell you, because that's where I'm at right now. Again, I'm you know, the host of this podcast, and I wrote the book, The Quarreling Wife, and I have the website and all of that, but I'm your sister in this, and I'm going through it too, and we're all at different stages. But, you know, something that I'm kind of going through at the moment is God is beginning to really do things with my husband's heart. And so now it almost is harder because I look back at when God was working on me. My husband wasn't a part of that. You know, it was just me and God. Now that God is beginning to work on my husband, now it is more like, okay, Danielle, will you hold fast to what I've taught you? Shut your mouth. Don't fight. Lean on me. Keep praying those prayers. Let that cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done, because now I'm going to work on him. So hold fast to everything you learned. Keep putting it into practice, and I'm going to really be at work over here. And let me tell you, it is really hard. I know that we say all the time we want God to work on our husbands. Now, I don't know if we always know what that really means, because when God starts to work on your husband, it might mean that you have to go through some valleys while God is, you know, because if God is leading your husband and your husband is going into a valley, well, guess what? You're going to be going right with him. So it's almost like you're going through the valley too while God is working on your husband, but you're still holding fast to what God has taught you. And let me tell you, it is really challenging. And I'm really needing to hold fast to those prayers and everything that I've learned, and to really lead my heart, because let me tell you, our emotions, they are such liars. And if we were to wait until we felt it, we would never get anywhere. And I know every marriage is so different. And when God works on our husbands, it all looks so different, you know, because our families are different. But my husband, your husband, I mean, they affect us, right? And so that can like affect our emotions. So even though we have all these truths and we're learning this new way and all of this, our emotions are still affected. And so I am really learning to take those emotions captive, take those thoughts captive. And I feel like it's even more work than when God was working on me, because I'm not in control of my husband. You know, I'm in control of myself. And now, I don't know. And I know God was working on my husband the whole time, but now I can really kind of sense more of a, you know, urgency with my husband and God doing stuff. And, you know, am I going to just hold fast? And it's not easy. And I'll maybe come out on the other side of this and write another book or something like that. So anyways, I'm going to jump right into it today. I don't know if this was the best episode to do, right, coming back after that huge long break I was on and just getting done being sick. So I'm just praying so much that God would give me the words to say and that He would give me the discernment on when to be silent and to just let the word do its work. Because today it's a very weighty thing what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about the holiness of God and the sovereignty. And I really have no idea how long this episode is going to be. My episodes typically are around an hour or something like that. This one might be way shorter simply because I can only speak to what I know. And you know, the depth of God, there's a lot of about Him that I don't know, right? We know what God tells us about Himself in the Bible. And I'm just going to say what Scripture says, but there's a huge part of God that I will never know, that you will never know. So I'm just going to get into it today, and we're going to see where it goes. And I hope that you're blessed. And again, I'm just praying for so much discernment today. So yes, last episode, when your heart feels broken, lead it. And in that episode, I was speaking so much about how we can say to ourselves, God, are you okay with how my husband is treating me? Are you just okay with this? Is this just gonna be forever? It can feel like a wilderness. Even when we are following God, it can feel like a wilderness because, you know, maybe God is testing our obedience to Him. Look at the children of Israel. I mean, they were going through the wilderness. Even though they were following God, they had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And then, you know, because they didn't believe, they were wandering in the wilderness. And some of them went into the promised land and some of them died in the wilderness. And that is super profound. But even after we have started this journey, it can still feel like a wilderness because we're creating those good habits and we're overcoming. And, you know, maybe we're backsliding a little bit and then we gain speed again and it gets hard and then it gets a little easier again and our emotions and all of that. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. We can be obeying on the outside, obeying our husbands as the leaders over us and be struggling with submission to God in our heart. That is why I titled today Wrestling with God. You know, God, why are you asking so much of me and nothing of my husband? That is not true, but it can feel true. I think that, you know, when it comes to submission, you know, because submission is an inner response to God. Obedience is an outward reflection of an inner commitment of submission. And so they are very closely related. But I think it is a lack of understanding of God's holiness. God is the one who gives the directions. But then we give the commands and we make the conditions, right? We can say, well, I will obey if, you know, fill in the blank. If my husband reciprocates in a certain way, then I will obey. We don't know who God is and we dare speak to Him the way we do because we don't know Him. You know, He loves us, but we don't know to whom it is we speak. I mean, right? We kind of talk to God like He's one of us and He's not one of us. And I know He sent His Son to die for us. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, John 3:16. But He's not like us. He's God. And we forget, you know, we can almost get to the place where we've formed a God in our own image. He's not like us. He's God and we are man. We are created in his image, but we are not like him and we do not understand him. He gives the orders and we're the creation. We're supposed to obey them. But we just don't understand the holiness a lot of times. You know, how about this? Have you ever said, God, I just don't like the way you designed marriage. I don't want to do Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. I don't like that. You know, our culture is very influenced by the feminist culture, even in the church. So we don't really like that lingo. We don't like the language that God's used. Our culture, and in the church as well, we are very against words like obedience and submission for the most part, because there have been those horror stories, right? But something I have to say about that, just because the world has corrupted obedience and submission doesn't mean that when it's done God's way, it isn't a beautiful thing. God created it. The Son, he submits to the Father. And I mean, look at the beautiful relationship that they have. And I'm not even saying I understand the Trinity or anything like that. But just because the world has corrupted obedience and submission does not mean that that is how God intended it. We really don't like Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. We don't like that one. We don't agree with Romans 13, 1 through 2. We want the blessing anyway. There's got to be another way. And then we spend how much time looking for our own way, right? Looking for our own solutions. And then maybe we end up right back at square one. Maybe we end up right back here where it's like we're crying out to God again. God, show me your way. Well, guess what? He'll bring us right back to Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we want to get to the Father. We want to get the blessing. Well, guess what? We have to go through the Son. And what does the Son signify? The Son signifies obedience. I mean, he was obedient to the Father when the Father sent him to die on a cross, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Jesus was obedient to the Father. So his life signifies obedience. So we want to get to the Father's heart in our marriage. We have to obey God in our marriage. We have to be imitators of Jesus's life in our marriage. That is how we touch the Father's heart. John 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. God's way, it is backwards in our world, isn't it? You know, in our world, this is typically how we are. We'll obey after we see a little bit of results. God's way is really backwards compared to our way. You know, in the world, it says, I'll treat my husband well after he treats me well. The world is very much like an eye for an eye. But scripture, it says that I don't give as the world gives. Well, guess what? If we're supposed to be imitators of Christ's life, then we need to not give as the world gives. So we need to give our husband the respect and you know, obey God's word, even though our husbands don't deserve it. Because that is being imitators of Christ. We don't give as the world gives. And then God will reward us with the fruit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. John 15, 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So the only way that we can ever imagine to get peace and love and joy and all of that in our marriage is we have to abide in the vine. And abiding in the vine is obeying him. And obeying him for us wives goes back to Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. It goes back to Hebrews 13, 17. Now, God, you know, today we're talking about God and his sovereignty and his holiness. A lot of times what can really get us wives all caught up is, well, God, I just don't like the way that it is. And you know, that is really questioning the way that God designed marriage. Who are we to question the Creator? I know that we have the freedom to do that, But should we be doing that? You know, he's the potter, we are the clay, and then we want to turn around and tell God how to do things. Now, don't think that I am just speaking to you. I need this. Oh my goodness, I need this. In fact, I'm doing this episode because I need it. You know, it builds my faith. I don't know why God does things the way he does, but he is God. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So again, he's the one who spoke the world into existence. He's the one who authored life. We are made in his image, but we are not to give him instructions. He is the one who's decided to structure marriage the way that he did. Job 38:4-11. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in its thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. We are the clay. He is the potter. Where were we when he laid the foundation of the world? You know, he is the author of this whole thing. I know we don't like it sometimes, right? But he is God. He is holy. He is sovereign. And we can fight it. We can sit down. We can have a pity party. We can sit at the side of the road for 20 years if we want to. And it will never change how God has designed it. Ephesians 5:22-23. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. He is the one who laid out those parameters for marriage. Isaiah 46:1-13. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, I have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me, that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and they worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far from my righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. So, wife, I am just going through these verses one by one, and I don't even know that I should comment on them, except how great is our God, this God that we cry out to. Yes, he sent his son. We have the honor of getting to know this God, right? I mean, it just blows me away. But yet, in all of his loving kindness, we have spoken to boldly. Who are we that we speak to him like we do, right? But we can wrestle with him, and he takes us where we're at and stuff. But I just want to remind us today who we're talking to, who we're wrestling with, the God of the universe. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Colossians 1:16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So even though God is this mighty God, you know, we get the privilege of getting to know him, right? And we actually have the ability to wrestle with him. Think of that story when Jacob wrestled with God. I mean, we can do that, right? And we can do that for years. We can wrestle with God and just not like the way things are, right? But at the same time, God, he will reason with us. Listen to this. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. That one always really intrigued me, especially as a parent, because I can reason with my children because they are of age to, you know, reason. You know, I can explain the reasoning, but I'm still the one in authority. I'm still the one who makes the rules. Well, just think of that with God. Like God, he will reason with us, but it will not change the way that he has set it up. So it's not reasoning together so that we can change his mind. It is reasoning together so that we can come to terms with his way and see that it is the good way. A verse that I say all the time is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but leads to death. Sometimes, I mean, we need to see the way that is not good so that we can alternatively see the way that is good. I mean, we are like little children, right? We are little toddlers who are like, no, I want to teeter-totter over there and do what I'm not supposed to. And then I learn my lesson. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He will let us take the way that is not good. And so we can come back to him and see that his way is good. His way is not up for debate. It is up for our understanding. God will wait for us to come to that understanding. He will not give up on us coming to that understanding. Revelation 3:19-22. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we can believe what God says, or we can learn the hard way, as so many of us fighting wives have done, right? But it says right there, he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. Well, at the beginning, it says, I reprove and discipline. So maybe him disciplining us is him standing at the door knocking. That is what so many of us fighting wives have done, right? We are above divorce, so we think, you know, but we settle for spiritual divorce instead. Just because we're not divorced with our husband by a certificate does not mean that we cannot go through those moments of time where divorced spiritually, right? Like you can be sitting in the same room with your husband and feel separated from him. You can sleep in the same bed and feel separated. You can do all of the right things, not be cheating on your husband, sleep in the same bed, hang out and do all this and still be separated, right? Like that is what spiritual divorce can feel like. We are Christians, we are promised peace, but that peace has no tangible power in our lives because in our marriage we fight to no end, right? That was me. I was like, you know, I'm promised peace, but it's not really showing itself in my marriage. I mean, marriage is a huge part of my life, right? It's a huge part of all of our lives. And why can't I see the peace in my marriage? You know, is it some far off thing that I just say I have, but I really don't have? That's how I felt back at the beginning of my journey. I felt like a fake. I was like, oh, I'm a Christian, but it's really not showing itself in my life. And now that I have gotten these principles in my life, let me tell you, my faith has just come alive. And I wonder, And, well, I mean, I know that it's in large part to do because I'm obeying God. And it's however sloppily, I'm not saying you need to be perfect at this. We are definitely flawed and we do it to the measure that we can. None of us are going to be perfect. We can't do this perfectly. It's not possible. But God takes us where we're at, right? And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And so, again, I've said so many times, we don't need to complete the program and we don't need it to do it perfectly in order to see the fruit in our lives, in our marriage. Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So again, God's way is not up for debate. You know, reasoning together, him saying, come, let us reason together. That is not up for debate. It is what it is, but it is up for our understanding. God wants us to come to him, and he wants us to understand that his way is good. And in our way, the rebellious way, will lead us straight into the wilderness. And again, that's Psalm 68:6. I love that one. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Psalm 99:9, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So again, wife, this is who has spoken the mandate to us wives. Remember the one that will end the fighting in our marriage, Ephesians 5:22 through 23, the one that doesn't sit so well with us all the time, you know, our culture, even Christian culture. Well, I don't like the way it is. It doesn't feel right. It's hard for me to do. This is the God who spoke that, who gave that mandate. Revelation 4:1-11. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was as it were a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. That is our God, like mighty, magnificent, holy. This is the God that we get to know. This is the God of the scriptures. This is the God that we argue with in our spirit, you know, the God who sent his son to come and die for our sins, to bridge the gaps that we could get to him. Wife, he is holy. The God that we wrestle with and we just don't understand his ways. Isaiah 55:8-9. He is not like us. He is high and lifted up. He is mighty. He is glorious. And we need to get reacquainted with our God. I'm convinced that I'm doing a terrible job at relaying who our God is. I mean, we need to search him out, search out the God of the scriptures. But in a small way today, I want to reacquaint us with our God. We need to get reacquainted. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to just give a practical example of this in marriage. I know that most of this episode today has been about God and his holiness and wow, he's just so amazing. But I do want to give an example of God's ways just not being our ways in marriage. Like for me, okay, here's an example that is very dear and near to me, and I've seen it played out over the last couple years. I remember how fearful I was. I submitted my will to my husband and I said, you know, I know God's ways aren't my ways and I'm going to submit my way in this area. I'm going to submit it to God. That's what God commands me to do. I'm going to lay down my will. And so that is what I did. Now, the example that I'm speaking about, my son, Elijah, he was 6 years old at the time. He was starting to play my husband's computer games. My husband, he's very into history. And so he's got some games that they're very history related. And so my son was getting to the age where he was really getting into it and interested. And my husband was like, okay, well, you're old enough now to start playing. And, but I really struggled with that. I was like, you know, is my son too young for that? Is he going to not have any other passions in life? Because I saw how excited my son was, you know, and you know how kids can be. They're so immersed in what they're doing. And then they kind of become a little obsessed, and I didn't want bad habits coming. And of course I started setting the alarm for him. And so he was creating some good habits and stuff, but this is back when he was 6 years old. And I think six is, you know, that's a younger age. And, but my husband, he said, no, it's okay. Like, it's all right. He can start playing my computer. And I really had mixed feelings about it. I did. I was afraid. Was I going to believe God's word? Was I going to believe that I don't need to submit to fear? Scripture says we are daughters of Sarah if we do not give way to fear. Was I going to put my hope in God? Now, I know my husband's flawed, but I know that God desires to lead me and my family through my husband. Even though my husband's flawed, God will lead you through him. And so, yeah, I submitted my will. It's been 2 years since then, and I've had the privilege of being able to look at that whole example play out from the very beginning of my fear to now Elijah's 8 years old. And I can tell you a lot of good has come out of it. Elijah, he was learning how to, you know, adhere to rules that we set up for him, setting the timer. He has gained so much knowledge with history and just a fascination for history. Not just that, I mean, he and his dad, they developed such a strong relationship over the last 2 years. And it was through that thing that they had in common. They have that thing in common. And that I've seen that relationship grow and just get so deep between he and his dad. And me as a mother, that is something that I've always, you know, you always kind of fear that, you know, when, especially if you're a young mother, you're like, oh, well, are my kids going to be close to me when they're older? Well, guess what? If they're close to their dad, they're going to be close to you. They're going to be coming around because they're close to dad. But you know what? I could have put an end to that. I could have manipulated and meddled and made it so much of a headache that I'm not even saying I could have prevented Elijah from playing it. I mean, my husband will do what he wants to do. I don't tell my husband what to do. You know, he does not bend to my will. I mean, he does sometimes, but some things he doesn't. And I don't think, I mean, sometimes when I say no, he will override me just because I will not tell him what he's going to do. But I could have really gotten in there and I could have severed that relationship between Elijah and his dad. And now, as time is going on, I'm able to just get more and more confident that my son is going to be so close to us when he's older. I mean, through just a little game. I was very fearful of that. You know, today's society, you know, kids, they're very glued to their games, right? Well, I knew that my kids wouldn't be like that. I mean, they play games, but I set the timer for them. But I didn't want to be like our culture, right? And in a way, I kind of felt like I was. Like he felt too young to me to be playing those mature games, you know, with history and the things that can go along with history and all of that. But I'm able on this other side to look and see how God used that to bind Elijah to his dad. And that is something that is so precious. Now, is my husband perfect? No, he's not perfect. Was every single detail of our management of that whole thing, Elijah playing his dad's computer game, did we manage it perfectly? Probably not. We never manage things perfectly. But I can just see the hand of God at work in that situation when I submitted to God instead of my fear of the situation. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So think back to that example. My understanding was Elijah's too young for that. That was my understanding. But scripture says, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. Well, in that situation, I was like, okay, I'm very fearful of this, but I'm not going to submit to my fear. I'm going to submit to God's way, which looks like not my way, right? Like, I wouldn't have let my son at 6 years old play games that are grounded in history. You know, I wouldn't have done that. But God's ways aren't our ways, right? But he says that he will make our path straight. Well, I'm seeing a straight path. I know we're supposed to have faith and believe even when we don't see, but I'm just here to tell you that my faith has grown so much because I have seen how God makes the path straight, even when we don't know what he's doing, how he can make the path straight. You know, that situation with my son playing the computer game, then maybe that doesn't seem like that big of a deal to you, but to me, it was a big deal. I remember a time when a friend of mine a couple years ago was very concerned because her husband wanted to get her son, who I think was 7 at the time, he wanted to get him a gun. I'm not sure if it was a BB gun or what kind of gun it was. And us moms, we can be like, whoa, that is way too young. Absolutely not. He's going to shoot his eye out. And I think she did fight with him about that, and she probably did override him. I was just kind of watching. You know, this was about 3 years ago now, and I was encouraging her. I'm like, well, you know what? Submit to your husband as unto God. We don't understand God's way. We don't know everything that God is doing. I remember something my mom said to me one time. She said to me, Danielle, you just watch and see. As your kids get older, your kids are going to be what ends up changing your husband. She was right in a lot of ways. So when it comes to those issues where dad wants to do something that us moms are kind of territorial over and we're worried about safety and all of that, you know, we can get super protective. Just know that your children are your husband's weak spot. Maybe something is going on there and God is moving pieces around. Again, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So today, the holiness of God, I am just convinced that I did not really do the holiness of God justice, but I really feel like I needed to speak to last episode. To whom are we speaking? We have no idea, you know, and I know we can, and God wants us to have that relationship with him, but just knowing that he is God and that he sits above the circles of the earth and he laid the foundation of the earth, and that's the same God who commands Ephesians 5, 22 through 23 of me, Hebrews 11, 6. That's just crazy. Dear Heavenly Father, who are we that you are mindful of us? We are but nothing. Thank you so much for reaching down and sending your son and becoming one of us to make a way to get to you. Father, just would you be with us today and every day this next week? Would you just open up our eyes to the magnificence of you? Give us dreams and give us visions, Father, of who you really are, the God of the scriptures, not the God that we've created in our own image, the God as you really are. Father, I thank you so much for each of these wives listening to my words right now and for everything that you're doing, everything that you've led them through, and everything that you're leading them into. We thank you for their husbands and the leadership that you have placed over them, the kingly role that you have placed on him. We just ask that you guide him and lead him, protect him. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, bye for now. Make sure to check out the book that started it all, The Quarreling Wife by Danielle Miller, available on Amazon. Also the blog at www.awomanofvirtue.com for even more resources. God's ways are so old that they are almost new, but they are 100% effective and can change your marriage like nothing else can. Thank you for joining me today, and make sure to subscribe to this channel for new and upcoming content. Also, give us a 5-star rating so we can reach even more wives here at A Woman of Virtue. Be blessed today, wife, and may your family be forever changed by the decisions you make this day.